Hey Liverpool fans, have you seen the latest release? At Anfield Index, we've teamed up with Liverpool FC to announce that the brand new 24-25 LFC Nike home kit and anthem jacket are out now, and they're hotter than ever. The brand new kit pays homage to the legendary Rome 1984 side, featuring sleek pinstripe detailing that brings a touch of history to our modern game. Whether you're cheering from the cop or watching from home, you'll feel the spirit of the Reds coursing through every stitch. The best part? You can grab yours today. The new kit and training range are available in official stores, online, and through the LFC store app. Don't wait, order now and be ready to show your Liverpool pride and style. Get your hands on the new 24-25 LFC home kit and anthem jacket today. Let's make this season unforgettable. You'll never walk alone.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for choosing this free Anfield Index podcast. If you'd prefer to listen to this or any of our other shows without adverts, then now's the time to check out Anfield Index Pro. With AI Pro, you can supercharge your entire listening experience. You'll not only get all of our podcasts without the ads, but you'll have them far faster with our quick publish feature available exclusively for subscribers. AI Pro also puts you in the heart of our sound studio, with an option to listen to many of our shows live and interact with the podcasters in real time as the shows are recording. Upgrading couldn't be easier. AI Pro is available on all popular podcast platforms, and we have our own apps for Apple and Android. Just head on over to AnfieldIndexPro.com and get started today.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Red, your lunchtime catch-up on all things Liverpool FC on a Tuesday where we are celebrating an anniversary. It is 5 years since Liverpool 4, Barcelona 0. And we'll come to that. But at the weekend, Liverpool did football. Not for the entire 90 minutes. For probably about 70 minutes. Liverpool did football and did it really, really well. A 4-2 victory over Spurs. Salah scoring the first on 16. I mean, Liverpool could have been 2 up before he scores. Lovely clipped cross by Cody Gakpo, and Salah just times the run to the back post brilliantly. Great header. 45 minutes just before half time, Andy Robertson tapping home from short distance with his right foot, which is a collector's item for everybody. And you thought, okay, that's a great first half. Like, that is a great first half. We have completely limited them. We have played our football. We've been aggressive. We've been front-footed. The midfield is functioning as a midfield. Salah is absolutely flying. Gakpo and Diaz are constantly swapping positions. So Cody starts as the nominal 9, but then spends significant time playing left wing with Diaz moving centrally. And Spurs couldn't quite figure it out. And Christian Romero, I know he had the one really sloppy giveaway in his own box, but he was putting in like a Herculean defensive performance just to keep us at bay. It was the best we'd looked since we beat Chelsea in the league at Anfield. And it goes right up there with that game, the Newcastle game a couple of weeks prior to it, and the Villa game early in the season as you know, our best performances this year. And the primary reason is that Trent plays as a right back. he doesn't play as an inverted midfielder. He plays as a right back. He steps in when the game state demands that he step in, but he holds the width for the majority. And what him doing that does is it allows Mo to play narrower, and it gives Harvey Elliott more freedom, because now he can buzz in and around Mo. He can go outside Mo, but he also has that interplay with an overlapping Trent, or he just has that simple ball back for Trent to deliver. We pressed so much better in that shape today, or that shape on Sunday, than we had for months. Even when we were winning games, we weren't pressing as well. We looked really solid defensively because Trent was playing as a right back. And we also got, I thought, for the first 70 minutes, we got the best defensive effort we've had from Trent in 2 years. He was dogged, he was determined, he was moving his feet, he was turning his hips. His posture was right. When he got faced up 1v1 with Brennan Johnson, who is rapid. He might be limited, but he is rapid. But Trent's posture was right. He was snapping into things. He was able to keep Johnson on his outside, never let him come inside. Absolutely outstanding defensive performance through those first 70 minutes. And, you know, that first half, like I said, was as close to perfect as we could imagine. We come out in the second half, and within 5 minutes, we're three up. It's a lovely clipped cross by Harvey Elliott. But as it leaves his foot, you think it's aimed at Diaz at the deep back post, but it just dives perfectly onto Cody's head. Now, it's a difficult chance because Cody has to jump straight up. He can't step in and jump, and he has to redirect it and generate new power, because the Harvey ball is just weighted to his feet. If Cody's a foot back, he can probably just cushion it on his chest and tap it in. But because of where Cody is, he has to generate the power. And my assumption is Vicario thinks he's going to go across the goal because it's easier to generate power that way, because you can use your neck muscles more, you can use your forehead, and you can power through the ball. But it's a lovely, deft little flick with power, and wrong foots the goalkeeper. And then on 59 minutes, it's just a very special goal. Mo feeds it to Harvey, goes past one on the edge of the box, moving across right to left, and he just unleashes. It's a very similar goal to the one he scored for England's under 21s a few months ago. Gives the goalkeeper absolutely no chance. So we're four up. You've got Salah with a goal and an assist. You've got Gakpo with a goal and an assist. And you've got Elliott with a goal and an assist. I assume Salah doesn't get an assist on the Robbo goal because it's just a shot that gets saved. And we genuinely looked tremendous through the first 59 minutes. And we continued to look pretty good for the next 6 to 7 minutes. They made changes. Richarlison and Maddison coming on made a big difference, because Maddison was able to play in pockets of space that we just weren't able to pick up, particularly when we made changes. Richarlison, who we all know he's a limited footballer, but he's big, he's very strong, and he is absolutely rapid. And I thought Jarrell Kwanzaa was magnificent for 70. But then Richarlison really started to cause him problems. We made our own changes on 64. Joe Gomez came on for Robbo. Besetic came on for Endo. And we lost control in the midfield. And it's not necessarily Besetic's fault, but he's not a six. I know they're trying to force him into that role. I know a lot of people think he's Busquets or Rodri reincarnate, but he just isn't. What he is, he's a really good defensive eight, a box-to-box eight. If you look at the... You could play him in a double pivot with a defensive midfielder. If you look at the Feyenoord team and look at the Quinton Timber role, that's one that would suit him. Would suit him quite well. On 72, they get one back. Ball gets played down the right. Gomez hasn't quite switched on. Johnson gets on the end of it and just plays a simple ball across. And Kwanzaa doesn't react. Richarlison steals in. He scores. And Alisson is absolutely fuming. Absolutely fuming. And not just instantly. And not just for like a minute or two. He's fuming for like 3-4 minutes. At one point, the ball came back to him. He just lettered it as hard as he could, not to anybody. Just lettered it because he was so angry at having lost the clean sheet. On 75, we made more changes. We brought on Gravenberch for Alexis. And we brought on Darwin for Diaz. Now, Diaz had been the least effective of the front three, but Alexis had an excellent game in midfield. We bring on Gravenberch for him. And, you know, Ryan had a bad first half against Fulham, but then a really good spell, including a goal, before getting taken off. He had a bad first half against West Ham, but then had a good second half. So, you know, you weren't necessarily overly worried with the individual change. And then you thought, our midfield is now Harvey Elliott, Stefan Bisetic, and Ryan Gravenberch. There's no defensive awareness in that midfield at all. There's no positional discipline. There's no tactical discipline. And within 2 minutes, they get another goal. And it comes down to the lack of tactical discipline in that midfield. Gravenberch goes for the first challenge. And then, for some reason, Bisetic decides, I'm going to go and win that ball. And he's miles out of position as Spurs play around him and play into the space that he has now vacated. Richarlison feeds it through to Son, and it's a really good finish. It's a really good finish. Our last change saw us bring Dominic on for Harvey. Harvey had signalled a couple of minutes earlier that he needed to come off. I'm curious as to why it took so long for the substitution to actually happen. There's about a 3 to 4 minute gap between when he gestures and when he goes off. Hopefully that's nothing serious because he played so well. We had a goal disallowed in stoppage time. Darwin, in probably the only thing he did well after coming on, feeds it to Mo, but unfortunately there was an offside. Darwin had been sent through 1v1 with the keeper, kind of in a wide position. I don't think he looks up and sees the goalkeeper until quite late, to be honest. He probably should go round him. He tries to go first time. Vicario, to his credit, does brilliantly to avoid handling it because he's outside his box as well. Darwin just gets a little bit more flight on it. It probably finds its way in. But that was the best we've looked in a long time, including games that we've been winning. Like, you go back and you look, the recent games have been dreadful. West Ham, Everton, we weren't particularly good against Fulham. Atalanta away was poor. Palace at home, obviously we lost. Atalanta at home, we lost. United away, we lost 2-2. But, you know, we technically get a point for it. Having watched them last night, how sick do you feel having watched them last night that we failed to beat them three times this year? Like, mortified. Absolutely mortified. On the plus side, though, we only conceded one to the greatest team ever conceived, which is Oliver Glasner's Crystal Palace team. Unbelievably good last night. We didn't play all that well against Sheffield United. We didn't play all that well against Brighton. We played quite well for a spell in the United Cup game, but obviously we lost. The last time in the league that we played well, I would say, was the City game, but we only drew that game. We weren't good against Forest. I mean, the Luton game, that's probably the last time we were actually good and won the game. That's the 21st of February. That's in the league, obviously. We had some Europa League and a cup game against Southampton where we played well. But that Luton game, because we played Brentford, were really good. We played Luton, we were really good. And at that point, we did look like, we looked like a team that was going to win the league. We really did. We'd hammered Newcastle. We'd beaten Arsenal in the cup. We hammered Bournemouth away. We got through past Fulham in the League Cup. We battered Norwich. We battered Chelsea. We did lose at Arsenal. But when you looked at the team, you could kind of understand why we lost. I mean, look at that midfield. Look at that attack. There was a reason we lost that game. We also gifted them the goal to put them ahead. But we came back, we beat Burnley, we beat Brentford, we beat Luton, and we looked good. And then obviously we won the cup and we were all on a high. We beat Southampton. You know, we win that game with the late Nottingham goal, a Darwin goal against Forest. We beat Sparta. We get robbed against City, denied the Stonewall of all Stonewall penalties. And then we beat Sparta in the replay and in the second leg. And off the back of that, you genuinely did feel like the quadruple is on here. That was the genuine feeling. And then we lost to United. And we haven't looked good since. In any way, we haven't looked good since. But I thought on Sunday, for 70, we did look really good, much more like ourselves. And the biggest factor in that was that Trent played as a right back. Trent played the position in which he is the best player in the world in that position. And there was a few very, very silly lads trying to claim he was doing the same thing he'd been doing for months. If you watch that game and are of the opinion that he played in any way similar, in terms of not level of performance, but just actual role to what he did against West Ham, Everton, and Fulham. If you think that was the same, football just isn't for you at all. Just isn't for you at all. Like, heat maps don't really tell a tale, but in this case, they really tell the tale. It's so blatantly obvious that he played a completely different role. He played his role, the role he was playing when we ran through Europe and won the European Cup while also getting 97 points in the league. The role he played when we just rampaged across all the Premier League teams and took 99 points. The role he played in 21-22, where we won two cups, got to a European Cup final, and lost another title by a point with 93 points or whatever we finished. I think it was 93 we finished with. Like, that's the role that Trent is best in. He has revolutionized the right back role. And yet we're trying to play him in midfield. And maybe part of that is him wanting to do that, but it doesn't work. It'll work sometimes, but the only person that really benefits is him. Doesn't benefit anybody else. And the funny thing is, we've had a lot of reactionary commentary following this game in terms of, you know, Harvey or Szoboszlai, in terms of Darwin or Gakpo/Diaz. If Szoboszlai and Darwin started and we were playing like that, they would absolutely thrive. because that style of football suits them so much better. That tempo, that shape, that all suits them far better than the inverted fullback nonsense. Inverting the fullback has its place, but if it's your primary mode of operation, it's just, it's too easy to stop. Especially when said inverted fullback just falls in love with the Hollywood passes too often. Whereas in this game, short, sharp, incisive passing and mixing in the switches and the longer balls when the game state called for them. Like I said earlier, it is the anniversary of the miracle at Anfield where Liverpool came from 3-0 down in the first leg and absolutely destroyed Barcelona. This is Anfield have put together 10 things that you may not remember from that night. The first one being no Salah and no Firmino. Like, just consider that for a minute. Back then, Bobby was absolutely in his pomp, and Mo is Mo, and we didn't have either of them. We started Jordan Shaqiri and Divock Origi. And Divock had some big moments that season, but you still would much rather have Bobby every single time.
I don't need a VPN. I've got nothing to hide. This is what I used to tell myself before I hooked up with LibertyShield.com. Not only is my home internet now fully encrypted, but I can now access all the websites I want, whenever I want, and do so from absolutely anywhere. As a Liverpool fan, I love to know I can now watch every match, regardless of whether it's on UK TV or not. My Liberty Shield VPN makes sure nothing is blocked and guarantees me super fast streaming speed throughout that match. You can get connected right now with their software package, which includes a 48-hour no-obligation free trial and instant access to their apps for Apple, Android, Fire TV, PC, Mac, and Android TV. Or go a step further like I have and get one of their pre-configured VPN routers. These small but powerful devices allow you to easily connect every device in your home to VPN, making it the perfect solution for smart TVs, Mac boxes, and games consoles. Visit LibertyShield.com today and use coupon code AIVPN25 to get 25% off at checkout.
Virgil, Lallana, and Oxlade-Chamberlain actually didn't train before that game. Naby Keita wasn't playing. Rian Brewster was on the bench. He was like 16, I think, at the time. Ben Woodburn was on the bench. It was the first time Shaqiri had started in 4 months. He played 90 minutes, was subbed off for Daniel Sturridge in stoppage time. And Shaqiri was absolutely excellent in that game. Obviously got a great assist, but his work rate, his determination was so, so important for us. Just setting that tone up front. Obviously, we knew what we were going to get from Sadio. Divock had a good capacity to press when he was switched on. He was that night. But Shaqiri was the one you were worried about, but he was really, really good. Andy Robertson got hurt, went off at halftime. James Milner went to left back. Remembering, of course, that we started with James Milner and Jordan Henderson in midfield. With Fabinho. No Ginny Wijnaldum. Milner went to left back. Henderson got injured in the first half. Looked like he might have to go off. Was able to play through it. People forget that Ali made big saves. Big, big saves. Robbo getting under Messi's skin, always a good one. Robbo annoying Suarez, always good. Trent's humble response. Oh, when he did the lap by himself. Klopp calling the team fucking mentality giants. And there were tears. There were tears in the stands. Emotional Reds witnessed a game for the ages, one they'll tell their grandkids about. And then the full-time scenes. That is the night under Jürgen. Like, when it's all said and done, winning the European Cup, obviously, winning the league, obviously, but that night is the best night of Klopp's tenure. We got some good news in terms of Virgil van Dijk saying he is very, very happy. He wants to be part of the future at Liverpool with the new manager. And I would imagine not long after the new manager is announced, a contract extension for Virgil van Dijk will be announced. Now, if you've listened to Monday Lunchtime, David Lynch said he expects Virgil and Trent to sign new contracts, but he said he has a hard time seeing Mo signing a new contract. And he made it seem like it's the club side, that Mo is maybe looking for like a 2-year extension and the club might only be willing to do 1 year. I did disagree with him when he said it makes sense for everyone to let him leave next summer on a free. In what world does it make sense for Liverpool to allow a £100 million player to leave for free? That doesn't make sense at all, and would very much fly in the face of how Michael Edwards operates. So that's an interesting one to monitor, for sure. But Virgil staying really, really good. John Achterberg is learning Arabic and heading to Saudi Arabia. He is going to join the coaching staff at Al Ettifaq. Al Ettifaq have been pretty good since the departure of Jordan Henderson. Not great, but pretty good. Never going to be great when Steven Gerrard's your manager, but best of luck to John Achterberg in Saudi. Dominic Szoboszlai concedes he might have set the bar too high. You know, it's funny, seeing all this, you know, reactionary stuff at the weekend about Harvey must start over Szoboszlai next season. Szoboszlai, in the first half of the season, up until he got injured, was unbelievably good. And now people have forgotten that. In the same way, there's utter nonsense about how if Cody had started all year over Darwin, we might have won the league. Darwin's been much better than Cody this season. Cody's been flat out poor for the vast majority of this season. But he's been better of late, and therefore he's been better than Darwin this season. Just nonsense. Absolute nonsense. What else do we have here? Five talking points from the 4-2 win. The last word on the 4-2 win. There's player ratings. There's some stuff on Arne Slot. There's a couple of pieces actually on him. There's an interview with Vitislav Jaros that's very, very good, and I do recommend that people give that a read when they have a chance. We'll check in on Liverpool.com and see what hopes and dreams the lads there have for us today. Starting off with the piece about Cody, piece about Darwin. Liverpool starlet has been tipped to copy Christian Pulisic, and Antoine Griezmann, a big fan, will come back to that. Liverpool told it could have its own Martin Odegaard. Can we stop with this? Like, Harvey was really, really good at the weekend. Can we not immediately compare him to a guy that's maybe the footballer of the year this year? Karel Figueroa impressed at the Under-17 World Cup, and Liverpool.com got the lowdown on him. With the Red Starlet tipped for a big future, he is very, very highly regarded. So another exciting one maybe to keep an eye on for next season or the year after. There's a few pieces having a dig at Gary Neville. Liverpool serious about William Pacho as contract talks open. We'll come back to that. There's a piece on Darwin. A piece about Suarez. Another piece about Darwin. Let's see. Liverpool serious about William Pacho. Oh, it's according to the... according to the Mirror, we're doing a new contract for Kwanzaa, but we're also very interested in Pacho. Pacho, as a centre-back, is better suited to a back three than a back four right now. But I do wonder if he'd play left-back under Slot. In the same way that Gertruda plays right-back under him now, Pacho would fit as the left back if he flipped his flanks. Trent suits the Hartman role better. This kid is genuinely outstanding and could suit that Gertruda role really, really well, but moving it to the left. As I've said before, I think I said it last week, the left wing role suits Salah better than the right wing role. So again, you just switch them because he uses fullbacks as wingers in different ways. They don't play as mirrored images of each other. So that could work really, really well. He is a big, big, big time talent. Like, I think he would be an exceptional signing. He'll be expensive. And I do think Ricardo Calafiori is a better fit, but this kid's upside might be even better. But it's just a lot of money. What else do we have here? That is pretty much it for Liverpool.com. We'll check in on Anfield Watch and see if young Samuel has written anything new. I'm not sure he has. I didn't see anything on his Twitter today. So, Premier League winner admits Darwin Nunez looks deeply unhappy at Liverpool. Wrexham director names fantastic Liverpool player who would be his dream signing. Does Gary Neville still believe Jurgen Klopp would swap Liverpool's midfield for Man United? Did he say that after we signed Dominic and McAllister, or did he say it last season? Because he definitely swapped last season's midfield because it was atrocious. He just used this midfield that United have properly. Arne Slot reveals plan to call Jurgen Klopp for Liverpool advice. It's not actually what he said. Jurgen Klopp makes startling Klopp admission, despite saying Liverpool boss made him cringe. Piece about Darwin. Arne Slot reluctant to heed former Everton transfer chief's advice. We'll come to that. Nunez unhappy, Van Dijk to stay. Nunez unhappy. Jurgen Klopp leads Premier League managers with an incredible record. I assume that's where he's never lost to the same team twice in a Premier League season, which is quite impressive, to be fair. What else do we have here? Gertruda, just one of two final players set for Anfield Switch. I assume the other one here is Mats Wiefer. We shouldn't sign either of them. We can do better than both. No contact. Fabrizio Romano pours cold water on Redsling. As if anyone actually believed we were going to be signing Pedri. Like, it is hilarious if anyone actually believed that was even remotely possible. Silly and all as Barcelona are, they're not going to sell Pedri. What is this about? Feyenoord manager Arne Slot's imminent move to Liverpool has got everybody talking, including a former Everton man who has given his view on what the Dutchman should do when he takes the helm. Yada, yada, yada. Marcel Brands, okay. Okay. Marcel Brands didn't do very well at Everton, but he is actually quite good at what he does. So, you know, it is what it is. It just kind of shows the Everton-ness of it all. Danny Murphy says replacing Salah is near impossible. There's a piece about Darwin, two pieces about Arne Slot, and a piece about what David Lynch had to say on his podcast with Dave Davis. Podcast-wise, there is a transfer Transfer Market Metrics show with Dave Davis and Phil Barter. There is a post-match Raw, which was a more joyful affair. There is the David Lynch podcast. There is Dave Davis speaking to Dan Morgan to discuss Jürgen Said to Me. And then there is an Anfield Index exclusive, which is Ben Boxack sitting down to chat to João Carlos Teixeira, former Liverpool midfielder, who also played for Arne Slot. And he goes into some good detail about the likely next head coach. He also played under Jürgen briefly as well, obviously. But it's really, really good. Obviously, Ben is excellent at what he does. So there we go. That is everything we have. There will be more coming today, and I will see you all tomorrow. Apparently, though, I shouldn't say that because I don't actually see you, because it's an audio podcast, but I don't care. I'm going to say it anyway. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this Anfield Index show. Please be sure to subscribe to our channel so future podcasts find their way to your device automatically. There's nothing quite like fan engagement, and we'd love to know what you think of anything discussed on this show. The best way to get in touch is over on our free Discord community, where both podcasters and listeners debate the hottest LFC topics 24/7. Sign up free now at anfieldindex.com/Discord. You won't regret it. You can also follow us on Twitter at Anfield Index and find us on Facebook by searching for Anfield Index. Oh, and before you go, we'd love it if you could leave us a 5-star review on your favourite podcast app. It only takes a couple of seconds, and it means the world to the people who create these free shows. Sports Social Podcast Network.